Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 26th, the year of our Lord, 2026. And this is the fourth Sunday of Easter. Once again, it is an absolute joy to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray you are well. And I pray that our time together in this moment will be a time of healing and renewal and fresh hope. And so let's start the way we start around here by inviting a spirit of celebration and thanksgiving into our hearts and minds. And we do so by taking in a big, deep breath. Let's do that together. As you breathe in, I encourage you not only to hold that breath, but to savor it. It's a gift. It's the gift of life. And let it go. And take in another one. Big, deep breath. And as you savor this breath, I encourage you to call to mind the people and the places, the situations and the opportunities that fill you with joy, that light you up inside. See the faces and the places. Name the opportunities. Name the gifts. They're all gifts. They're all gifts from our good God. With all of this in mind, perhaps open your hands as far as they can open. Extend your arms wide. Turn your face toward the sky. And in this spirit, in this posture, let's begin together in worship.
Call to worship. Truly, the shepherd calls to his own sheep by name. We hear his voice and follow him. He leads us out and goes before us. We trust his words and walk in his ways. He is the gate for the sheep. Through him, we find safety and rest. Others may come with empty promises, but we listen for the voice of our shepherd. He came that we may have life and have it abundantly. We enter his presence with joy, following the good shepherd. Amen.
Thank you.
Today's scripture reading comes from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
Gracious and merciful God, we call out to you in this moment and we pray. And we humbly ask your presence with us. And we also ask for your help. Calm our minds. Bring us to a place of peace and stillness. To turn down the noise and the distraction. Save us from any misinterpretation so that we could truly receive the gift of this, your good word. We pray this in your holy name and we say, Amen. Friends, on this fourth Sunday of Easter, we are truly blessed with some time to reflect on the 23rd Psalm. Psalm that is very familiar to many of us, and even for folks who aren't around the Bible or church very often, it is a passage of Scripture that I believe kind of transcends all that. It is a gift to the world at large. And I want to spend just a little bit of time reflecting and walking through the text. And I would like us to focus on one of the themes that I see emerging as I've been reading the text this week. This of having a shepherd, a guide, a companion, particularly when things seem dark or perhaps even and hopeless, when we're seeking a way up or a way out or a way through, and the earthly mechanisms have failed us or they're not available to us. Times when we feel very alone and afraid. And as I've been preparing to come up with a few things to say today, a friend of mine, unrelated, but sent me an article that appeared in Substack. At least that's where he sent it to me from. It was written by a woman by the name of Dr. Chris Miller, a medical doctor. And it's on this importance and the power of companionship. I'm going to read right from it, and I'll try to be quick. She says, "Life is full of literal and figurative mountains to climb. Some days the slope feels manageable. Other days it feels nearly vertical. But here's what the science suggests. How hard the climb feels has less to do with the mountain itself and more to do with who's standing beside you. In 2008, researchers at the University of Virginia asked students to stand at the base of a steep hill wearing heavy backpacks and estimate how steep it was. Some stood alone, others stood next to a friend. The hill was the same, the weight was the same. But the students with a friend beside them consistently rated it as less steep. And the longer they'd known that friend, the gentler the slope appeared. To quote from the study, social support changes how we perceive the world and how our bodies work. It didn't even require physical presence. In a follow-up study, participants who simply imagined a supportive person saw the hill as less steep than those who imagined someone neutral or negative. And the closer they felt to that person, the easier the hill appeared. That's not a metaphor. That's perception literally shaped by connection. We tend to think of resilience as something internal, something we build alone in quiet moments of strength. But this suggests something different. The challenges we face aren't just shaped by the world around us. They're shaped by the relationships within it. The mountain isn't entirely fixed. It shifts depending on whether you feel supported or alone. And this isn't just psychological, it's physiological. When you feel supported, your nervous system shifts. Stress signals soften. The body moves out of a constant fight or flight state. Heart rate variability improves. Inflammatory signaling quiets. Energy becomes more available. The same challenge, but a different internal environment. And over time, that changes everything. So if the mountain feels especially steep right now, it may not be a sign to push harder. It may be a sign to change the conditions around the climb. Okay, that was a long quote. But it helps me focus this message. I want you to focus on companionship. And perhaps that will help you to hear a familiar song, psalm or song with new ears. And give it fresh vitality in the hearing and in practice. So when we hear David, whom it is widely assumed is the author of this psalm, King David, the one who slays giants and the one who unifies the nations, the one who was anointed by Samuel when he was just a little ruddy-cheeked kid, this David, who clearly, certainly by the tradition, has a very special and unique companionship with God. The one in this song who refers to as a shepherd, which certainly makes sense, given his upbringing as a shepherd. So let's just read through. It's just six verses. So let's read through. Think about companionship. Think about the context in which this is written when David is under deep duress, either during his time when he was being pursued by King Saul, who was seeking to kill him, or in other moments in his life when he was deeply grieved in his spirit. Let's listen to the words together again. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. How's that for a companion? A companion like a good shepherd, watching over the vulnerable flock. They're just out there with a sheep's intellect and a sheep's appetite, somewhat oblivious to the dangers that are just on the other side of the hill or deep in the woods. But the shepherd is wise. The shepherd only lets the sheep wander so far. If he hears the call of one who is herding out of his sight, he'll leave the others and find the one. You see this throughout Scripture. If you read all the lectionary texts today, you'll also find Jesus referring to himself as this good shepherd as well. It's the kind of companion we need. When we're out of earthly answers, when our resources have been depleted, and it looks, again, by outward appearances, as if we're all alone, to whom do we turn? To whom are we invited to return and name as companions? Even if we feel unworthy of that companionship, our God, this good shepherd, says, call on me. I will come by your side. I'll give you a moment of peace, as if we are sitting in a green pasture together, to sit and talk over a cup of cold water or good coffee, so that you can have peace in your spirit, so that you can see this circumstance, view this mountain climb from my perspective. I am with you. And you still need to make the climb, to find the way through. But come to me always, and I will be with you. And you might not see the change in the outward circumstance today or tomorrow, but where you'll notice the healing and the change is in your spirit, just like in the study. There's something physiological that happens to us when we name the companions with us, in particular the one that has been with us since we breathed our first breath, our good God. And when we can name as companions goodness and mercy, if they follow us around wherever we go, indeed we dwell in the house of the Lord now and by the promises of our faith forever. So here's the homework. I want you to breathe in this psalm. I want you to take it in, to receive it for the rich gift that it is. Not just in the musings of a pastor who has a tendency to go on too long. I'll have this in the sermon notes that you look at the top of where you found the podcast today. It's just a brief 5-part practice that might help you understand and experience this sense of a companionship with God, this good shepherd. And the first is to arrive, to sit quietly and say, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing." And allow yourself to rest in the truth that God is already here, right by your side. The second is to breathe. Now, if you've been around the podcast a while, you know we emphasize the importance of breathing. And as you inhale in this practice, inhale and say, "You are with me." And to exhale, "I will fear not." Inhale, "You are with me." Exhale, "I will fear not." The third part of the practice, bring to mind a concern. Name the mountain and pray. "You lead me beside still waters. You restore my soul." And then, like we do, open your hands. Release the need to control and to fix and to perfect, and allow the shepherd, allow God to guide you. The fourth part is to remember. In difficulty, when things are tough, when the stress is welling up, and you retreat into this prayer, in difficulty, repeat this. "You are with me. You are with me. You are with me." God does not always remove hardship, but abides with us in it. And then rest. Sit in silence and call to mind the words of the psalm. "I dwell in the house of the Lord. I dwell in the house of the Lord." And you receive this not as future hope, but as present reality. Right now, you and I, in this moment, dwell in the house of the Lord. This prayer is not us reaching out to some corner of the cosmos, to some distant God. It's awakening us to the one who is already present, our companion, our good shepherd, who seeks us to live soulful lives of peace and quiet and provision for his name's sake. This psalm is filled with rich good news, and I encourage you to memorize it and to practice prayer disciplines around it. And you will find fresh, revitalizing relationship with this great companion, our good shepherd. And to all of that, we can say, Amen. And so let's practice what we preach. Let's pray. Gracious and merciful God, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our great companion and good shepherd, we call to you in this moment and we pray. We stand humbly before you, fully aware of our shortcomings, fully aware of the times when we've wandered out of your house, through the backyard and into the woods. And we confess to you, God, there are things that we have said and done that we know are not in keeping with your will for our lives. We've sinned. But we ask that we could claim the promises of our faith, that when we approach you in vulnerability and humility, when we can name these things before you, you forgive us. And so we ask for that forgiveness in this moment. And liberated from that burden, grateful for your grace, we come to you with prayer petitions. And we begin with this good world of yours, for all the people of the world, seeking your companionship, challenged by the mountains in their way. Lord, in your mercy, hear your prayer, hear our prayers. And God, we pray for people in positions of power and authority. Cast out corruption. Cast out greed and malice. Lift up among them people who will name you, truly name you, humbly come before you, turn their power into your hands, and ask for your grace and your guidance in their leadership. We pray for friends and neighbors, colleagues and earthly companions. Meet each and every one at the point of their need. Show them the way. And you know our hearts. You know the things that occupy our minds, the joys and concerns that we sometimes write down formally as prayers or prayer requests. Sometimes it's just a list of things that keeps us awake at night. You know these things. And so we take a moment in the midst of this prayer time with you to call these things to mind, to open up these prayer lists and to hand them to you, and to sit quietly and listen for your voice. We break our silence. We give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we pray, O God, that you'll hear us as we celebrate together this prayer that we've inherited. Hear us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
And so, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, I pray that we will do so knowing that we do not walk alone. There is a shepherd, a companion who abides with us always, one who wants to hear from us, wants to know our joys and concerns, to spend time in green fields beside still waters. Our God, the God that we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.